This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. So today it's verse 24 and 25 of Surah Al-Qasas, and it's all about gender interactions. This is one of two places in the entire Quran that's very explicit about this subject. And gender interaction is a subject that we talk about in different ways across the globe. A lot of it has to do with culture, heritage, tradition, habits, just the things that you're accustomed to in terms of interacting with the opposite gender. And so we're going to see today, inshallah ta'ala, in the Quran, just how the Quran addresses the subject. First thing is that talking to the opposite gender is not haram, unless you're talking to the opposite gender about things that are haram or with haram intentions. In Arabic, we call this fitna. So if you have fitna in your heart, in your mind, etc., and those are the things that are motivating, those are the things that are pushing you to talk, conversate, and socialize with the opposite gender, then those are the things that Islam prohibits. Why? Because it's an open door to other things. It could lead to other things. And it becomes distracting. And that's the thing that you don't want at the end of the day, is that you want to be able to focus on the people that are halal for you. You want to be able to focus on what's correct, and at least to bare minimum following the instructions of the Quran and Sunnah. And the reason why I say it this way is, always remember, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to women or spoke to the opposite gender all the time. There were instances where some of the women would come and literally in front of his face and ask him some of the most personal and private questions. And guess what he would do? Alayhi salatu wasalam, he would answer them. He wouldn't say, okay, stand behind that wall, stand behind that curtain, okay, you can't speak to me this way, send a note to me, send a messenger. He didn't do any of that. If they came up to him and they asked him something, he would answer it. If they came up to him and they said, salamu alaykum ya Rasulullah, there were instances where, and this is narrated in the Sunan of Abi Dawud ibn Majah, pretty much most of the hadith books, is that sometimes women would be sitting in a circle and they would just have their own conversations, doing their own thing, and they would see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam walking by from a distance, and they would actually say salamu alaykum to him, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would wave back and respond wa alaykum assalam to them. He wouldn't say, oh my god, this is just not modesty, where's the humility, blah blah blah. None of those things that we say to the opposite gender if they were to do something similar. So it's really important to separate between what religion allows and what culturally people do and are accustomed to. Now, with that being said, coming to today's verses, there are actually two of them, 24 and 25. Surah Al-Qasas, Allah highlights an incident that happened with Musa alayhi salam when he reached the waters of the city of Midian. Now, he's about to go there, and for obvious reasons, right? He's going to go and maybe shower, take a drink or what have you. But it seems like this area where people are collecting water, it's a well-known area. So as he got there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَجَدَ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ, that he found that there was a group of shepherds that were taking care of and watering their flocks of sheep and their animals. So they had a herd of animals there, and they would come and quench their thirst and clean them up and what have you, right? And then Musa alayhi salam noticed that as he's watching all of these shepherds taking care of their animals, he looks to a corner, وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمُ مُرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ. So he watched and he saw that there were some women, two of them in particular, that were standing in a corner with their own flocks of animals and sheep and so on. So the Musa alayhi salam, here's the first lesson here when it comes to gender interaction. He actually notices, he visually looks and he sees that there are two women there. Now, how is he looking? He's not looking with any other reason except maybe it's what's going on over there, is something wrong. So he immediately acknowledges or realizes, wait a minute, maybe they need some help or something. What are they doing there with their animals and everybody else is here scrambling and trying to get water? So he goes up to them and he asks them, مَا خَطْبُكُمَا. So he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمْ مَرْمَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا. He says to them and asks them, what's wrong? Is everything okay? So here's the second lesson. He talks to them. He goes up to them. Is everything okay? Can I offer you some help? Are you guys okay? Do you need anything? Is something wrong? So here's the lesson. Helping people, their gender has nothing to do with it. Period. This shouldn't even be a conversation. But unfortunately, like, I've visited countries where if you saw somebody of the opposite gender get stuck or something happened to them. Like, for instance, one time I saw a lady whose dress, her abaya, got stuck in an escalator. And people, and the escalator stopped, alhamdulillah, right? It just stopped, so she wasn't in any real danger. But the point is, she was stuck there, and she's trying to pull her abaya out from the escalator, and she couldn't. And everybody just kept walking by. And they felt like they couldn't offer her any help, touch anything, nothing. Just, inshallah khair, inshallah you'll get out of it. Myself and two of my friends, we were coming to the same escalator. So we noticed the woman is stuck there. And it was an elderly woman as well. So we asked her in Arabic, we asked her, you know, if you need any help. And she says, you know, wallah sa'ab, you know, she's like, subhanAllah, like, it's really hard for me to pull this thing out. So we asked her, would you allow us to help you and we can pull it out for you? And she says, of course, of course. And she started praying for us and making dua for us. And she's like, may Allah bless you, bless you, bless you. So we literally yanked her dress out. Thankfully, we didn't rip anything, but we yanked it out. It was a little wrinkled and dirty, but she was so grateful that we helped her. Now listen to what Musa alayhi salam does here. The women responded to him, these two women, and says, قَالَتَ لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَاءُ وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. We can't go and quench the thirst and the needs of our animals until they, meaning the other group that's there by the lake, until they move, until they give us an opportunity. And our father is an elderly, old, and weak, frail man. Why did they say this to him? Basically, this is why they're standing there. Like, they have to get water because their father can't do it. So it looked like what happened is these women or the men didn't want to mix with one another. You know, that whole idea and subject of segregation and mixing and so on, we're going to come to that a little bit later because it's a separate subject that has some exceptions and rules and a lot of fiqh behind it. So we're not going to do that right now. What I want everybody to pay attention to is the fact that you have two women standing in one corner and everybody else is standing in another. The ayah doesn't say that everybody else who's there are also women there. So it is possible that there are other women there, but these two in particular decided that they were going to wait till in a corner. And Musa alayhi salam sees that and goes up to them and he asks them if everything is okay. They explain to him what's the problem. Look what Musa alayhi salam does, and this is in verse number 25, the next verse. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Musa alayhi salam helped these women. So he basically went, filled their bags of water, made sure that they had enough, helped them out with that situation, and then he turned to Allah. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ فَقَالَ رَبِّي. He went to a shade somewhere and he started making dua. Now, let's just pause for a second and understand what is happening here. You know, you help somebody, then all of a sudden you turn around and you make dua. That sounds a bit strange. It sounds odd. Like, I mean, we don't even really do dua in that particular way either. So what really happened? Let's keep reading. He makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالَ رَبِّي بِإِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. He says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my master, I am in need of whatever you send down to me that is good for this poor, needy soul of yours. Whatever you feel is good for me, I am in need of that. In other words, what Musa alayhi salam is saying to Allah, you created an opportunity for me to help somebody. And the ajr and the reward is the reason why I do it. And you, when you create these moments for me in my life, I am grateful and I want you to know, O Allah, that I am in need of more of these moments, more of these opportunities, so that I could do more good. I am but a poor soul that is in need of every opportunity to do righteousness. You know, the ending of this verse, I'm going to ask all of you listening to this, if you can go to verse number 25 in Surah Al-Qasas and go to the end and find this exact dua. فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. You'll see it. Clip out that portion of the verse and put it on your screensaver and just see it all the time. What a beautiful and profound reminder of how important it is not just to do righteous deeds, but to look for the opportunity to do righteous deeds. Look for those opportunities. You know, yesterday's video, if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to just watch it. I mean, at least just watch the first 2-3 minutes of it. I tell a story of an opportunity that I had just yesterday, I think, or yesterday, the day before, going up to a cashier that was literally handled by another customer that was in front of me, made her cry, put her through a situation. But it was an opportunity now for me to do something good for somebody else. And I took full advantage of that. So just check that out. And I'm sure all of you have stories like that. So the point here is this, very simple, and let's conclude. Gender interaction is completely permissible unless there is a reason from the Quran or the Sunnah that disapproves or prohibits it. So let me say that again. Everything is allowed until the Quran and Sunnah tells you that's not allowed. So yes, if you're going to sit there and socialize and your desire starts going all over the place, then obviously that's not allowed. If you're going to talk to somebody of the opposite gender just to kind of understand them, figure out who they are, try to get their number, try to get connected, try to say, okay, like let's be friends, etc. For obvious reasons, all the scholars agree that's a haram situation, right? You don't want to open those doors to begin with. But when you're simply just, do you need some help? Hey, look, we have a project to work on. Can we work on it? If you just stick to what the subject is and what you need to do and accomplish, then this is what our religion completely allows, and our Prophet ﷺ had done this. The reason why this subject is such, I mean, it might seem complicated for some, it's not because of what Islam taught and how Islam teaches us to, you know, the whole idea of laws of interaction, but it's actually culture. It's actually habits and tradition. You might grow up in a village or in a community or in a culture where the women, you know, or the men, you don't go near the opposite gender. If you do, you get like this allergic reaction or something, right? You just cannot mix or interact with nobody of the opposite gender. The consequence of that is when it does come time for you to go up to a cashier or you need some help and the only person behind the desk is the opposite gender. The problem when you have that level of separation is that when it does come time for you to interact, it becomes impossible. It becomes awkward. You don't know how to talk to the opposite gender. You don't know how to interact. You don't know how to ask for things. You just don't know how to conduct yourselves. And that is not from the sunnah of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Interacting with the opposite gender, as long as you have the proper etiquettes, you follow the rules of our and the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, you'll be just fine. And so our Prophet ﷺ is the best example of this. And people ask all the time, how do we know when too much is too much? How do we know when I cross the line? How do I know, okay, when I need to talk to the opposite gender, how do I even start that conversation? All of the details in between, what is considered socially acceptable as opposed to what Islam allows as well? How do we find a balance between the two? All of these things, actually, I teach a course on the laws of attraction and gender relations in Islam, and we go through a lot of these things. It's a 2-day course, and inshallah, once this lockdown is completely over, I'm going to start teaching that program again. But the point is that we go through all of those details. Each of them have their own separate scenario with their own fiqh rulings as well. But what I want to highlight today is very, very simple. Talking to the opposite gender is permissible. Interacting with the opposite gender is permissible. But the condition is follow the sunnah, the rules of the Quran, the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do it the way that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions would do it. That's how you make your life a little bit easier. So when you know yourself and you know, okay, my voice is saying one thing, but my heart and my emotions and my desires are going through the roof, then you know, okay, I need to back off. interaction with the opposite gender is really not for everybody. So you got to know yourself so that you know your limits, etc., so you don't cross any boundaries. Last thing that I want to say on this subject is that, keeping in mind our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, although that he did interact with the opposite gender, he did so on a need-by-need basis. If they needed something, he was there. If they asked him something, he answered. Once there was a woman that came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and pretty much said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, you give so much time to the men," meaning you teach them and you answer all of their questions. "We have questions too. We need answers too. Give us some time." And the Prophet ﷺ didn't say, "Okay, listen, don't talk to me like that," or, "First of all, you should be behind that wall." He didn't do any of those things. You know what he does? He tells the woman, "Go pick a day and I will be there. Gather the women and we will answer all of your questions and iron out all of these issues." And so, brothers and sisters, as I've always said, and I've said this many times, I'm sure many times you've heard it, we are the ones that make Islam difficult. Islam in and of itself is not a difficult religion, walillah ilhamd. But we, because of our cultural influences, our habits, what we're accustomed to, we integrate and force that into the religion. And this is where those weird behaviors and habits come. It's like, "Oh, you shouldn't smile when there's women around. You shouldn't talk to the men. You shouldn't respond to no salams." None of this was from the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You've got to know yourself. And so the last thing that I really want to say to you is that if you find yourself that in a simple conversation or you're sitting in a classroom and your teacher is of the opposite gender, if you find that that stuff bothers you, like it stimulates something, it makes you feel something, or you start acting in a certain way, it's not the fact that you're in that particular moment that's caused you to start behaving or feeling that way. This is a deeper spiritual issue that you need to figure out. So if you are at the cashier and you get some change in your hand and the cashier touches your hand and that does something to you, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the cashier. You need to really sit down and rediscover and understand and try to navigate some of those issues. This is a deep spiritual problem, right? It's not a problem necessarily with just desires or something. This is somebody that needs some help. You need to just talk to somebody. You need to have some questions answered. And you need to just go through on that spiritual journey to understand, okay, how do I cope with these kinds of situations and move on from them so that they don't become a problem for me as I continue in the future, inshallah ta'ala. So just keep that in mind and self-reflect and think about these issues and what they mean to you. But understand, this is important to find a balance in this sort of thing. If you become too isolated and secluded, that becomes a problem. If you engross and indulge yourself in everything, that becomes a problem. The Quran and Sunnah help us to find a place right in the middle, and that's where we want to be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to teach us this blessed book and all of its lessons and knowledge, and teach us and help preserve and protect the example of this book, our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our hearts and in our lives. Allahumma ameen. Hopefully this is another verse that if you lived a certain way or thought of this subject in a certain way, hopefully these verses help to change your life for the better. Allahumma ameen. Jazakum Allahu khairan, everybody. Take care of yourself until we meet again. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.